Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Casa Connection podcast. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Warren, and we are here also with...
Tracy Heisler. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, or afternoon or evening.
Whenever you're listening.
Exactly.
It's morning for us.
It's morning for us here on March 14th. We are going to be uploading this podcast today, and we wanted to get into, as we do with so many different topics here on the Casa Connection podcast, something that really does affect foster youth, foster families, just families in general, and it is positive childhood experiences. That's what we're going to be focusing on today.
But before we do that...
What do we need to do?
Say Happy Pi Day.
Happy Pi Day, folks. Almost forgot about... How could I almost forget about Happy Pi Day?
I don't know, but the nerds in my world would be very unhappy if I forgot Pi Day.
I'm glad we got to that right off the bat here before we got into the positive childhood experiences.
That's right.
Happy Pi Day, folks.
Because pie makes everybody's experiences better.
Oh, absolutely. What's your favorite pie, Tracy?
Do you know, I'm a fan of chocolate mousse.
Are you? Mm-hmm. I think chocolate mousse is fantastic, but I am an old-fashioned type of person. I just love a good apple pie, a warm apple pie.
With ice cream?
I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll take it. I love the ice cream on it, too.
I won't say no.
Love an apple pie. Folks, let us know what your favorite pie is out there. info@casashaw.org. Folks, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
But really, we do want to get into positive childhood experiences. This is something that we've dove into here at our Casa Shaw program over many, many years, really trying to train our Casa volunteers, Tracy, trying to educate the community as well. I'm really glad we're talking about this particular subject matter on the Casa Connection because it's so important to the work we do day in and day out within our Casa program, so many other Casa programs as well.
And we hear so much about adverse childhood experiences
yeah.
and the lifelong impacts. And there's a burgeoning area of research about what are the insulating factors that help keep kids well and thriving despite
yeah.
negative things happening. So one of the things that I saw recently was a study out of Johns Hopkins in 2019, and they identified 7 positive childhood experiences that can help insulate kids. Do you want to hear
right.
what they are?
Yeah, let's go through all 7 of them.
So the first one was being able to share feelings with family. Not feeling so isolated, alone, and bottling things up. And that's one of the things that as parents, as caregivers, that we can assure kids that it doesn't matter what you tell me, I'm still going to
yeah,
love you.
Absolutely.
And we can talk about things. And that's really important, even when unpleasant things are happening around you. The second one was feeling supported by family members during difficult times, that you're not feeling like the outcast, feeling isolated. This is one of the challenges, I think, sometimes for LGBTQ kids when
yeah.
they come out, and if families are not affirming, not accepting,
that's
even if
point.
You don't understand it,
right.
of still embracing them and loving them and helping them to feel like you're there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need them.
What's number 3?
3 is enjoying participation in community traditions.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. And probably a difficult one for a lot of individuals out there.
For sure. And whether it's like in my family, one of our traditions is at Christmas Eve, you get to open one present.
There you go. Yeah.
So yeah. my kids, when they were young and even now as adults, they scan around which one, how big, they shake it. They,
yep, yep.
They want to maximize their Christmas
this
Eve
box
opening.
Looks like something maybe. yeah.
For years, it was having fruit salad. At Thanksgiving. It's the only time we ever make it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that for kids having that sense of anchor to community, I can see why that would be one of the 7.
Yeah, absolutely. What's number 4?
Number 4 is feeling a sense of belonging in high school.
This is such a challenge for so
sure
many
is.
Of our youth. I mean, I have daughters who are in middle school, not even in high school at this point. And boy, one of my daughters really does have a certain challenge at this point in time, a sensitive kid who's really trying to find her way. But this is a problem. It's a challenge for youth.
I can remember being in high school and I was very nerdy and not particularly well liked. And I was on the cross country team and they had put somebody had put up posters through the halls with the names of everybody on cross country. And somebody put Boo on mine.
B-O-O-O-H. Oh, no. Oh.
So I put a note, if you're going to insult me, at least learn how to spell it correctly.
Oh, there you go.
B-O-O.
Yeah. I'm glad you can laugh about it now. I know. Jeez, what a jerk.
But I had my core group of friends, yeah, so that I didn't, you know, I was able to weather the unpleasantness. And actually, I'm still friends with many of those people on Facebook. So that's very fun. But that sense of belonging is crucial throughout. And the pandemic disrupted so much of that with virtual learning and made it difficult and isolating, which is why we're seeing unprecedented numbers of kids having mental health issues.
Absolutely.
You know, as they're trying to regain their footing.
Yes, absolutely. What's next on the list?
Feeling supported by friends, which, you know, kind of goes along with that sense of belonging, of having a community of people that you can talk to. And, you know, you hope that your kids are making good decisions about the kind of people that they're hanging out with.
Right.
But even if it's somebody that maybe you wouldn't be friends with.
Right, right.
At least your child has someone that they feel connected to, because connection is really what matters.
So important. Yes. All right.
The number six is having at least two non-parent adults who genuinely care. So we know from the research we've talked about many times before that the number one predictor of kids coming out the other side of these adverse experiences is having a caring, safe, engaged relationship with a safe and competent adult.
Exactly. Cost of volunteers, folks.
So, yeah.
That's why we matter.
It could be the CASA. It can be an English teacher. It can be the guidance counselor. It could be, you know, your auntie, whoever it is for you. That's what's really important, of having people who care.
Right. Absolutely.
And want to help you on the other side.
Absolutely. What's the last one here?
The last one is feeling safe and protected by an adult at home.
So
even if there's somebody disruptive, if there's domestic violence, if there's substance abuse, somebody with a mental health issue, having an adult that you feel safe with in the home and that you think has your best interests at heart and will protect you is one of those core resiliency factors.
We can reflect on those seven, that list of seven that we just went through, but something I've always thought was interesting, and being a father of identical twin daughters who are getting ready to be 12 years old
at this point.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate that. But the one thing that I know that I've been going through, foster families go through it, foster children especially go through it, is don't assume that a child is doing fine just because he or she is not showing signs of distress. I think that's a very, very important aspect. When we look at this list of seven and we say, you know what, a child tends to internalize stress or distress in their lives. And I think that's an important component of this conversation. And I think that gets lost a lot because a majority of adults who haven't necessarily had the experiences that foster children have don't quite understand that kids just can't talk about things at times and aren't always going to have positive experiences, even though an opportunity might be right in front of them. So it's really important, I think, don't always assume that a child is doing fine because they're able to hide things.
And don't you think that having a sense of trust is really crucial to that, of being, if you are one of those people that the child is able to confide in, connect with, maintain their trust.
Absolutely.
And that sense of safety. The other thing that this particular study didn't talk about, but we know from other research is really crucial, is kids having a sense of competency, of something that they're good at.
Yeah.
So if there's something that your child has an interest in, foster that.
Right.
And find ways to help them so that they feel connected, they feel competent, they feel like what they do matters.
Absolutely. It's interesting. I did have some notes for this particular podcast episode. It's a subject matter that I find very interesting. Of course you do. You're an expert in this.
I wish we were an expert in this, but.
But what you just said is a great segue into what I actually have here in my notes, which is breathing in the same room is not the same as connecting with regard to adults and children. You have to play a game, engage with children, play Uno, play Candyland. If you have the opportunity, let the child win and foster that sense of accomplishment, that sense of, okay, I have meaning here. There's some purpose here. And whether you're doing a craft or even looking at pictures with each other, connecting, and that connectivity is so incredibly important when we're talking about this subject matter.
And for our older kids too.
Yeah.
Whether it's watching a stupid YouTube video.
Yeah.
That, you know, like right. My youngest is 15 and came in to chat with me the other day. You know what they wanted to tell me?
Huh.
That they'd played a jazz solo for our cat.
Oh, there you go.
Who seemed really into it and was excited to sit there and listen. And
yes.
Like, okay.
Yes.
Awesome. Good to know.
Exactly. Just a quick story about connectivity. And maybe for those who are listening, it could be something that you or the foster children that you're representing as they're going through court can actually do is, you mentioned YouTube videos, something my wife and I did to help foster, we were trying to foster a love of music, and I think it helped with my twin daughters to a certain extent, but them growing up, I'd say for a good 5 years, almost every night at bedtime, we would choose one music video to watch. Like from back in the 80s or back in the 90s.
That's so fun.
Yes. And the looks on their faces were great.
Did you get fish heads, roly-poly fish heads? That was like one of the first ones out on MTV, and it was crazy. I remember looking at it going, what? I don't get it.
Exactly. I mean, we didn't show them that one. We did, however, you know, just get into some old 80s rock, 80s hair metal. We went into the 90s, the grunge era, and the looks on their faces and just the, oh, I don't like this. No, please, can we get this off, please, after the song is done? But we were fostering inevitably that connection right there. Didn't matter that they didn't like the music or the video that was on the screen.
In memory.
Exactly. Yeah. And to this day, my twin daughters will say, remember when you used to show us those terrible videos?
What was wrong with you?
Those music videos, they were awful. But they're always going to remember it now.
Exactly.
And that's part of fostering that connection. And I think sometimes it is difficult for us adults who live very, very busy lives. We always say this time and time again. We live busy lives. When do we have time? It really only takes a few minutes out of your day to really kind of get that connection going.
And to be affirming of the things that your kids
true.
Are interested in, like playing jazz to the cat. I could
have
said, why are you telling me stupid stuff? But no, instead I was like, well, that's awesome.
Exactly.
Glad he enjoyed it.
Exactly. I think something that's also important too within this conversation, Tracy, is offer compassionate empathy rather than solutions when there are challenges in front of children.
Oh, excellent point.
Because I think at the end of the day, that's really going to create a positive childhood experience for them.
Well, and it helps them to grow as a person who can, you know, live as a meaningful adult.
Yeah.
And going into that transition into independence, that
absolutely.
They're not paralyzed with, where's my mom or dad?
Yeah.
Why aren't they fixing it?
Exactly. We're talking about positive childhood experiences here, Tracy, and people who may be listening to this may be thinking, all right, well, this is all hunky-dory here. You know, this is great. You guys are talking as though, you know, this is simple stuff here. Are there resources where people can go to really learn about this? And like, how do folks who may not necessarily understand this really start laying that foundation either for themselves or their families? Like, how can people go about doing it where these type of thought processes aren't necessarily part of their daily lives?
I think really is just connecting it to the simple, basic concept that connections matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Relationships matter.
Yeah.
And even if you feel disconnected from someone, you don't share the same interests, just looking somebody in the eye and a genuine, how are you doing? Hi,
yeah.
Jeff. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you.
I see
you. I enjoyed
you.
The connection.
Thank you. But we all feel a need to be seen.
Yes.
And if you look at kids who have really maladaptive outcomes, you know, like the school shooters or the kids who are, you know, chronically high and just checked out, the thing that's missing, I would venture to say, for all of them is that sense of someone sees me, someone knows me, someone cares, someone hears me.
Someone hears me. That is so incredibly important.
Right.
Yeah.
And so even if you don't get it, the fact that you're just there and trying goes a long way in whatever form that takes.
Absolutely. I don't know. I'm not sure how much more we can talk about this. We probably do another hour, but I don't know if our listeners who are used to our shorter form podcasts would really want that. But I know you have resources available at your fingertips for folks and everybody. If you would like any of those resources, please feel free to reach out to Tracy at info@casashaw.org. Or, I mean, even your, you've given your personal email out, or your work email, I should say, out over here. Tracy@casashaw.org. Reach out to her. Yep.
T-R-A-C-E-Y.
Yep. T-R-A-C-E-Y at casashaw.org. And Tracy has a plethora of information that she can pass along to you. And we also want to say really quick too, we very much appreciate various CASA programs throughout the United States contacting us after listening to this podcast to ask for resources and talk to Tracy about issues, whether it's that are ongoing within their CASA program and just how they can obtain more resources. So thank you for reaching out to us.
Absolutely. And before we go, I just want to leave you with a challenge today.
Ooh, let's do this.
Wherever you are, take a minute to connect with somebody else, whether it's somebody in your office, whether it's a child in your home, it's your spouse that you're feeling disconnected from. Look them in the eye, say, hey, how you doing? How was your day?
There
and
you go.
Just listen and see what they have to say.
People want to be heard. What Tracy said is a great way for folks to be heard and for that connection to be made.
So. I'm already done because I already connected with Jeff.
Hi, all
Jeff.
Right. Fantastic. Fantastic. We're done connecting today. That's going to do it for us here at the CASA Connection. Go back in the podcast feed. Check out all of our great content that we have been putting up. At least we think it's great content. And you can like our Facebook page out there as well. And we are on Instagram @CASA_Shaw as well. Give us a follow there. Do you have anything else, Tracy, before we head out of here?
No, just enjoy a piece of pie today, too.
There you go.
Happy Pie Day.
Happy Pie Day, folks. Take care. We will catch you on the next one.
Bye-bye.